everybody. This is Steve Bell. And if you're listening to this, it's probably because you saw an update newsletter, either in paper form that was sent to you or on the internet. We send these out from time to time because many of you are financial supporters of mine, which is really important to the ongoing health of my work. And also just to let you know what we're up to, so that you know that if you are a supporter, that we're doing good things with your support. So another of you just interested, so there's been so much going on in the last 6 months that it's just too much to sort of write on paper. So this is just unpacking those a little bit. So I want to tell you about four different things. We've received some awards recently. I want to talk about that. I'm writing a book series that's coming out in October. Starting a podcast in September, and we're starting to do retreats, sort of mini retreats / conferences across Canada for now, and so I wanted to talk to you about those. So these are all things coming up that we're kind of working on in the very near future, but I also want you to know that I'm still doing concerts and writing songs like I always have and always will. So I want to begin with a fairly new song that I wrote recently for you to hear. This is just demo. Don't be too judgy. It's just very, very simple guitar and vocal. And it's a song I wrote riffing off of a sermon given by N.T. Wright, where he talks about how you really can never know what you don't first love. This is that love really precedes real deep knowledge of something. And so if that's true, and then he says this cute line, then wouldn't you love to know? And I thought that was cool and a great song title, and I wrote this song.
If you have to love the truth just to know if it is true, wouldn't you love to know? If the essence of a thing begs to hear your tender wooing, wouldn't you love to know? If you can't know a part without delighting in the whole, wouldn't you love to know? If you'd never know a kiss without first cherishing the soul, wouldn't you love to know? To know as you are known, merely love as you are loved. Gently turn this fertile loam to unearth the fragrance of the lover's drug. From the far cloud-hidden star to the solitary bug, wouldn't you love to know? Frankenstein and Faust are yet the rage, unspeakable the severing damage done. Yet on the wind the distant sound of drum and the sweetness of the sage, still might come a kinder age. See the wonder-stricken child, hear the elder's wise in song, wouldn't you love to know? Wouldn't you love to know? Wouldn't you love to know?
So one of the first things I want to tell you about and report is that this year I've received a couple of awards. And I have an uneasy relationship with the whole award idea to begin with, and then there's something about bragging about them that seems contrary to, you know, proper Christian humility. And yet, you know, it's good for advertising, it's great for hype and all that kind of stuff in a world where you need something to get your news up there so people become aware of what you do. But the reason I want to tell you about them is because I'm very, very aware that everything that I do is, to some degree, a community project. I don't do this in isolation. I've never done my work in isolation. I've got a manager, Dave, who's been with me for decades. I've got staff, wonderful, wonderful staff. I've had patrons, supporters. I've had people that buy my CDs and come out to concerts. We kind of do this together. My first album, Comfort My People, was entirely funded by a Catholic priest friend, Father Bob McDougall. My second album, Deep Calls to Deep, happened because some friends came into inheritance, and I got a letter from them saying, we think you should do another album, and they gave me a very healthy donation and then also helped me to raise some more money so I could do it. I could tell you stories of this forever. And a couple years ago, when I did my first symphony concert in Winnipeg, the place was sold out, and it was a magical night. I remember being on that stage and looking out, and there was somebody who helped me financially. There's someone who helped me emotionally or spiritually. There's somebody that lent me a car when I needed it. And the whole room was full of people who had been part of my work. And I suddenly became full of deep gratitude. And my first response is to say, look what we've done. We're here in this concert hall with a symphony. Look what we have done. So let me tell you what we have done. The last album that I put out, Where the Good Way Lies, which was supported by friends and fans and supporters, it won Album of the Year at the Canadian Gospel Music Association Awards, called the Covenant Awards, back in January. Two of the songs got awards. The title track, Where the Good Way Lies, one for Collaboration of the Year. And in that production, if you've heard it, I wrote the song with my friend Jerry St. Cyr, but in the production, we collaborated with rapper Fresh IE and traditional indigenous powwow singer Coco Ray Stevenson to put that together. And this kind of really wonderful collaboration happened, and it won an award. Another one of the songs, Wait Alone in Stillness, which I wrote in response to the first Syrian refugees arriving on Canadian soil a few years back. It comes from Psalm 62, and that won Inspirational Song of the Year. So we got three awards for the album itself and the songs. One of the nice things also was that my manager, Dave Zaglinski, who's been with me for, I don't know, almost three decades now, he was given a Lifetime Achievement Award for his contribution to the Canadian Christian music scene, which has been enormous. The lovely thing is that he didn't know to the last minute that he was getting it. I knew, but what I didn't know, that he knew that I was also getting one. So I got an award, he got an award. It was just kind of fun. Yay! It was fun. It was great to be there. And it was a lovely time, very affirming and heartwarming, and makes you pause and think back with gratitude on all those, many of you who are listening now, who have been part of this for quite a long time. So look what we've done. Thank you. I really appreciate it. One other award that just happened at Canadian Mennonite University a little while ago. It was called the PAX Award. PAX is, I think, Latin, I think, for peace. And so that's the kind of award you might expect from a Mennonite community. The award is a leadership award, and it was part of it was for my music, but part of it was for my involvement, the advocacy work I've done with First Nations people on issues that pertain to our area around Winnipeg here. Again, I'm able to do that because I have staff that take care of other things. The reason why I can have staff is because people like you support. So I want to report these things because these really reflect the common work that we've been doing for the last several decades. And I just want to say congratulations to you, as well as celebrate with my staff and friends this work that's been done. So, something that's new that we are quite excited about is that I've just recently signed a book deal with Novalis Publishing in Toronto. And this is, they want to publish a 7-book series that I recently wrote and put up online as an ebook series called Pilgrimeter, which reflects on the 7 major seasons of the church calendar year. So it's sort of reflective of those major seasons. So there's 7 books, 7 seasons. They're Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, the season of Lent, Holy Week, Eastertide, and Ordinary Tide. And most church traditions are familiar with some of those. We're all kind of familiar with Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter, maybe less so with Epiphany or with Ordinary Time. They're all very significant seasons. And I've come to this late in my life. I've come to appreciate the fullness of the tradition over the last several years, as I've recently belonged to a church that does sort of re-harrow and retell these seasons year after year. And it's kind of the church's way of telling our story, much the same way as a mother tells a story over and over to a child who says, "Can I hear it again, Mama?" Any good story needs to be heard more than once. And these stories sort of shape and form us. And I've come to believe that it's very, very significant, especially at a time where there's other narratives, significant narratives, that tell a story contrary to the gospel story, that God so loved the world, the ton cosmo, and that he gave his only son that we might live. So anyways, I wrote the series of books, I put them up online, but recently Novalis Book Company approached us and asked if they could publish them in traditional book format. And they want to release them this October as a box set of the 7 books. You'll be able to get them individually or in a box set. And so I'm right now madly kind of rewriting and editing for book publishing, and that'll come out in the fall. Very excited about it. I think it's a significant event in my career and ministry, and I hope it's a gift to the church. So look for that in the fall. Okay, another significant development that we're working on is that just before last Christmas, we sent out a survey to hundreds and hundreds of people who have been sort of tracking my career and my work over the years, asking if they'd be interested in an app, a Steve Bell app that would contain all my music and could become kind of a home or a house for all that I do. Basically, the response came back was that it was redundant, that everything's online already. There's no use spending all this money and this time for something that you can get on Spotify or on iTunes or just get on our website. So don't do it. But what did come back is people saying that they really wanted to hear from me as a podcast. And it really surprised me. It never had crossed my mind, actually. But people are saying more and more they like the stories I tell. They're interested in the people I meet when I'm on the road, the books that I read, and all these sort of tales of different people that I come to know and work with. And then even my own sort of spiritual reflections and even the stories behind some of the songs I've written. So it suddenly dawned on us that this is a very logical next step in my work. And we kind of got together as a team and decided we're going to start producing a podcast called Way Stations. It's going to come out starting in September. It's going to be a bi-monthly event. And Way Stations is sort of riffing off the whole pilgrimage theme that I've been working on for the last album and the book series that I've just written. Way Stations are basically places to stop and rest and think and get a drink of water and some food and possibly go to the bathroom, I suppose. But they're sort of places of rest and restoration. And we'd like this to be something that people would listen to and kind of get nourished by. So we're going to start this in the fall. I've got a friend of mine, Tim Plett, who is in my actual life a really wonderful foil and friend and conversation partner. And so I'm going to bring him on as a regular person I chat with and to help sort of discuss and debrief the people I interview. I think it's going to be very cool. And it's going to be a wide-ranging topical thing, everything from things spiritual to guitar strings to favorite bands and books, all that kind of thing. So watch for that. We're going to start in September 15th, I think is when we want to launch it. And why I need you to know this now, I'm kind of hoping that you'll pay attention and get online when they first come out, because in podcast world, to get any attention in the wider podcast world, what's important is when they first come out, they get lots of reviews and lots of hits. And so I really kind of need you to, when the time comes and we ask you to go to the sites and check them out, that you please do and leave a review or a comment so that it kind of can help us get some attention out there. So another major development is that I started doing retreats or mini conferences. We're not quite sure what to call them because they're not really quite retreats, not really conferences. They're kind of in between. Normally, I have put my work out there in concert form, where I just kind of go and I come into a town and I do a concert and I'm there with people for 2 hours and I sing my songs and tell stories. But there are things that I think about in more depth that I wish sometimes I had more time to talk about. And so we developed a sort of day and a half retreat where I come in on a Friday night and do a session, and then I do 3 sessions on a Saturday during the day. And of course, these sessions I do with guitar in hand, so I sing and I talk, but they're a bit more themed that I can take time to talk about the things that are really important to me. And the retreat, we've been calling it For the Journey, and the reason why we call it that is because I think I have some things just from my life and my own spiritual development to offer that were helpful to me on my journey, and that might be helpful to you on your journey. So, and there's 4 major sessions. On the Friday night, I talk about the mystery of the Trinity. And I ask the question, why did Christ come? What was the purpose of the incarnation? And most people, I think, would respond with the word for salvation, to save us, all that kind of stuff. True, but I argue that I think Christ first and foremost came to reveal the Trinity, to reveal this dynamic relationality of love and mutuality at the heart of all things, from which all things flow. And if you get the who right, who is God, then the what, when, where questions afterwards follow through in a more healthy way. The first session on the Saturday morning, I talk about worship, and I've thought a lot about that as well. If God is who God is, then what does worship mean in the context of the world that we live in? And I spend about an hour and a half talking about the process of worship, or the dynamism of worship, or the journey of worship, which is one of a deliberate movement corporately from alienation to intimacy. If God is a divine unity, then part of what happens in worship is reunites what has been separated. It's re-ligamenting religion. And so I talk about that. The third session, we called The Story That Forms Us. And I talk about the spirituality of the church calendar year, the seasons that the church rehearses, retells, reharrows year after year after year: Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Eastertide, Ordinary Tide. I really believe that the church has been given the charge of being keepers of this story. And we tend to the story that we've been given, and we offer it for the sake of the world, because it's important that the stories we tell. If we tell stories of a universe that kind of moves forward based on competitive self-interest, you might have a certain kind of a society that comes from that. If we tell the story of the universe being an outpouring of love that has at its core a dynamic relationality of love, that might produce a different kind of society. So anyways, I talk about that. And something's become very meaningful to me. And the last session is on saints, psalms, ancient prayers, sort of the resources that we have to nurture our spiritual lives, some of those great legacies and traditions that the church has kept to help sort of nourish us and stir our ardor, give us courage in times of despair, all those kinds of things. And so I sing and talk my way through those four sessions. We did one of these retreats in Toronto in January, and then the next month, I think in February, we did it one in Regina. They were really lovely times, and I get a chance to be with people for longer and share in more depth. This fall, we're doing one in Calgary, one in Edmonton. I think those are both in November. We're doing one in Winnipeg in September, I think. So watch my website, stevebell.com, for information if you want to go to those things. You can sign up and come and spend a day and a half with me, and it's a lovely time. We'd like to see you out. Okay, so that's a lot. There's been lots going on, and there's more I could probably talk about, but I think that's enough for now. I hope you pray for me and my staff as we work towards these different projects and try to bring them to completion. Pray for God's blessing on the work that we do. I want to thank you very much for your financial support, and maybe encourage you now and again this fall to consider donation. That will help us keep doing our work. I've talked about this before, but our financial situation has changed in that we can't monetize music the way we used to through the sale of CDs. Those days are over. There's some of that going on still, but much, much less. And what we've had to do is go to a more ancient model for keeping this kind of artwork going, and that is through patronage. And we just really do need folks like yourself, who hopefully believe in the good that we do and want to be part of it and help us to continue it. So you can go, there's a link on our website where you can go to and make donations, and we can receipt you for that. And we just take that money and just put it into the infrastructure and the time that it takes to create music, to create conferences, to create this book series, to create a podcast, all those. And it just keeps the ministry going. So we're really grateful for that support. I'm mindful that I've been doing this for a very, very long time, primarily because people have been supportive. And so I'm very humbled by that and grateful. In closing, let me give you a brand new song. This is called In Praise of Decay. And it's riffing off of a poem that Malcolm Guite, my English poet friend, wrote recently. He was out on a walk near his house with his dog. And he had this, I guess the story goes, he was out in sort of this woodland walk. It was beautiful and serene. And he saw a plastic bag sort of folded into the forest floor. And it was just so offensive. And it suddenly occurred to him that here's this thing that doesn't decay amidst a bunch of stuff that does, leaves and twigs and foliage that actually decay and turn into rich loam for the growth of new things. And so he wrote this wonderful poem in praise of decay. So Malcolm wrote this wonderful poem praising things that decay in comparison to the damage done by things that don't decay. And it was, I don't know, there's something very delightful about the way he wrote it, and it inspired a song for me. And so some of the song comes from his poem, some of it comes from the intro he wrote to the poem on the web, and some of it is just my own words. And so it's kind of a putting together of several sources for the song. I'll leave it with you. Again, this is rough. It's just guitar and vocal. Be forgiving. And thank you for listening. God bless.
Older ways of living, much wiser than the ways we know. Kinder and forgiving of the limits we're inclined to loathe. Native to this land that God has given us to grow, the seeds of love, the shoot of faith, the tree of hope. Of our sinning in the manufactured grim decay. Betraying our beginnings in viral acts of greed and hate. Planted in the midst of these bewildering displays lies a garden tended by a gardener's grace. Perhaps it's not so bad that things decay, that ocean breakers ebb and flow away, that light ascends and settles at the ending of the day, that beating hearts can stop and start again. There's a reverence unfolding from the secrets of the lowly least. And the arts of better knowing, of letting go and planting seeds. Blessed are the ones who herald wisdom from the past, save us from those dreadful things that last. Perhaps it's not so bad that things decay, that ocean breakers ebb and flow away, that light ascends and settles at the ending of the day, that beating hearts can stop and start again. Perhaps it's not so bad that things decay, that ocean breakers ebb and flow away, that light ascends and settles at the ending of the day, that bleeding hearts can stop and start again.